We left off yesterday. I think we completed the writ. Thank you very much, Shua. That's correct. We should pipe him in from Chicago. So anyway, let's take a look at the Ran. And Judah, you had not read yet? Okay, so. Go ahead. So what does the Ran have to say? So the writ basically said that we explained two reasons why for the Chumrah of Rabbi Zeira, a Rebbe and the Chumrah, let's say for Rebbe, number one is that it could be a confusion of Pesach Nida, number two, it could be a problem of Damim, of the color of red. And then on top of that, he says at the end, therefore they made our Chaka Yisera, and again it's clear that the Rif regards this as a Takanas Chachamim, even though Reb Zeira formulates it as Benos Yisrael Hechmir al Alatzman. So now, the commenting on the Rif, the Ran says, go ahead. Svadis. Right, so what he's suggesting is, what is the suggestion? Yossi?
Well,
he hasn't gotten that yet. What is the suggestion some had? What's the chashash? How does a woman become a zava and not realize it? Zach?
She's going to see blood in Bein HaShmashos, which is really going to count for two days.
2 days. That's correct. If you Bein HaShmashos, a re'iyah could be long enough to count as two. Now, even though it's one re'iyah, but if it's on 2 days, so we'll say Yom HaMar Mavsikin here. Yom HaMar B'chalkin. Yeah? Correct. It doesn't have to be. In other words, firstly, if it started in the afternoon and went well into night, you know, where there was a continuous, let's assume, a very slow flow. If it were continuous, not a slow flow over that period of time, she'd be dead. She'd have bled to death. Seems highly unlikely that's the case. Women are known to become anemic because of menstrual bleeding. But I've never heard of, I'm sure somebody's going to go Google now and find that some case happened in the jungle of Borneo where a woman bled to death just from her getting her period. Just making that up. Who knows? In a world of 7 billion people, never say that something cannot ever happen because, you know, even if something is such a freakish occurrence or such a freakish human being that it's like a 1 in a 5 billion chance, well, guess what? There's probably one person on planet Earth that has this. So if she's bleeding continuously from day into night, she'll know, she might realize that 2 days. But if it's happened Spanish Busher, she may assume it was day, she may assume it was night, and only count that as one. Now that doesn't really solve the problem, Felicia goes on to explain. So it's possible she bled only 2 days, and now she requires Shiva Nakim. She bled on Sunday, and then Monday, going into Tuesday, she had a long bleed. Jacob?
Wouldn't she have had to bled through all of Spanish Mushrooms then? Is that what you were saying?
Well, no, I would say the following. She doesn't have to bleed through all of Bain Hashmashos. The point is that the assumption I work with, I know that some of the briskers have a Torah that Bein HaShmashos, it's not that it's a Suffolk Minayom or Suffolk Minalayla that's a dividing point, but that Bein HaShmashos is a hybrid. So the pastor says that's wrong. The pastor says that there is a dividing line, but we don't know where it is. The reason why it's wrong is this is a Gemara in Krasis, I think, that says, or maybe Mishnah, that says that the person does Malacha, let's say, of Shabbos and Yom HaKippurim, or Shabbos even. And you do it at the same time, Bein HaShmashos, Friday night and Motzei Shabbos, that you chayav chatas. If you only do it one of them, you're not chayav chatas because it's a suffix whether or not you violated Shabbos. But if you do it at the same time, 2 days consecutively, so then obviously either it was Friday night when you did it, or it's Shabbos day when you do the second one. Now, if in fact Bein HaShmashos were a blend between the two, that wouldn't make a lot of sense. I don't want to go into this. That's not my kasha. I'm not the first one to realize that question. It's a pretty good question. And you're going to have to, you know, go through crazy hoops and so on in order to deal with that. But okay, so Gail disagrees, but for another time, he'll voice his objection. We'll accept his face disagreement here. His facial gestures disagreement. So fine. Anyway, but that's not my point. The point is, you can have a point banish. It doesn't have to be that long. You know, banish mushos. By the, how long is banish mushos actually anyway? If you want to, you know. I'm going to assume that there's a dividing line. How long is banish mushos? 42
minutes.
It does depend where you are. It's true. The Gemara's definition, which probably is in the latitudes of Eretz Yisrael at Nisan time, is about 13 and a half minutes. That two shitas. There'd be 13 and a half minutes or I think 12 minutes, unless you assume a meal is longer than 18 minutes, but usually that's the number that we use. So Bena Shmashos is not terribly long. Even in, you know, other times of the year, it's complicated, but whatever.
Is it much longer, though, in the States?
What we keep and what it is may be two different things. Let me put it to you that way. So here, typically, the shorter times run from 42 minutes. Some people, Rav Moshe, had 50, and then there's Rabbeinu Tam, the not extremely machmir Rabbeinu Tam, of 72 minutes, and some people have 90 minutes, and I won't say who it is. Someone told me he waits 2 hours. Whatever. Okay. I mean, it's almost morning for me by the time you do that, so. Yes?
42 minutes is what we use for Bina Shmashot in the States?
It depends where. My shul, they use 42 minutes. You know, which you have to figure out which are the Machmir, which are the Mekel shuls in Tinek. I know. I hear people say, oh, how come they only get to keep only 42 minutes? So anyway.
We're assuming the Bina Shmashot is the entire period between Shkia and Seid?
Yes. Now, the bottom line is...
Awesome?
What?
Couldn't it be a cool awesome?
What?
But you're in the car on the way home, and you need a longer Bina Shmashot.
Well, no, because we wouldn't really say... We wouldn't really say, we're not Hasidim. So bottom line is, when you hit Shkia, get off the road. Okay.
What? Is that where we're assuming that she's bleeding? Like,
let's assume that she's bleeding a chunk. I'm going to assume there's a divide. I don't even have to say that. Because if she bled for more than the 13 minutes, well, again, if she bled from the beginning to the end, it's probably both Yom and Laila, almost certainly. But she could be bleeding for 5 minutes within the Banish Mushers, and she might very well have had 2 days of bleeding there. Bleeding on 2 days.
It would be either one or the other.
No, that's the point. And the assumption of the Ran is, which is, you're asking an interesting question, but I think the evidence is, there should be a Beferush Gemara on this. Yeah, there are Beferush Mishnayis probably, I think. If not, Gemara is about this issue of having Re'iyah Ben HaShmashos can't be 2 days, even though it's one Re'iyah.
Would that assume that the hybrid thing?
No.
No, it says that there's some, you bleed during Ben HaShmashos, there's a point at which the day, previous day ends and the night begins. In the middle. We don't know exactly when that is, and therefore she's going to assume that she bled only during the day, only during the night. And the reality is she might have bled across that dividing line. She bled partially the previous day, partially that night. Yeah. So the Ran says, why doesn't he like this?
Okay.
No good. Why? So why doesn't that suffice? Does he explain why?
No.
Why does this not suffice? Yitzi?
It just seems like that would have been an ever-present issue.
No, there's a reason why this doesn't suffice. Ein ze maspik. I think there's more. It's not just, it seems unlikely. There's a much more substantive reason, Moshe.
Never mind.
Yeah, see?
If she sees blood one day, why do you make it?
Correct. If she sees blood one day, why do you require Shiva Nakim there? It can't be more than two Rios. And it can't be more than... She sees blood once, not one day. She sees blood once, that can most be 2 days. I'm not assuming in this particular case that she bled for over 24 hours contiguously. Then she'd rather be dead. Part of the issue is how do you define the bleeding also? In other words, it's hard to... You know,
I don't understand what the issue is here.
If in order to have 3 days, you need to have at least two Re'iyos. Being Roa Ben Ashmashos is not going to bring her to 3 days. It could bring her to two.
So it could be that there's already one day, and then there's a night that's finished.
Exactly. But you need 1 day and 2 days. You need two Re'iyos in order to bechlal the Safek of Shlosha. She thinks she only saw 2 days. She saw Steviyos and Achas Ben Ashmashos, and she only counts Shisha V'Hein. So my question is, Yeah, that's true if it's two Rios, which she thinks were only two, but really were three different days. But what if she only bled once, and maximum it's two Rios? You shouldn't require Shem and Akim. I could probably find a Teretz, but I think that's why the Ram thinks it's not Maspik. Okay, so now, Eliyesh Lomar. All right, so basically, whose teretz is this? This is like Rashi and Tosis, but missing one important thing. What's he missing? Yossi?
Rashi's case is where she saw it day 7.
Yes. The Ran just says, Viziva Hasoseres. Doesn't have to be day 7, right? This is what a number of you said yesterday. That's what you thought. Thought that was what you said, Yossi, and some others. Right, so the Ran doesn't go down on the Rashi. Rashi and Tosos seem to be insistent that to find the model, it has to be bleeding on the 7th day. The Ran just says, Ziva Hasoseres. You bleed one drop, now you have to keep shivin' a kid. Jeremy?
Why did Rashi and Tosos say it has to be the 7th day?
So we suggested that yesterday, that maybe because you already enter a new Tara phase. In other words, we got to the mikveh in the morning, and then you bleed. So it's like you're keeping Shiva Nikim for that one bleeding, whereas in the middle of the 7 days, day 6, day 5, day 4, it's really because the original bleeding. Yeah. Okay, Yossi?
So just Rashi and the Rif seem to be offering the reason why we had to make this the kind of bleeding that we want, just in the event that she was in the middle of Shiva Nikim.
Where did the Rif talk about that? Tosos?
The Ran.
The Ran, yeah.
The Rashi and the Ran. Tosso, on the other hand, seemed like they were just trying to... Tosso said they're trying to find some Torah model where one drop of blood can make you wait 7 days, and in which the Chachamim could then base their Tekana Ochel. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I don't know if... You know, it's Rashi and the Ran don't articulate they want to be Kein Daraisa Tikkun, but they want to... In other words, they want to find some... I'm not sure there's any difference between Rashi, Tosso, and the Ran. Tosis spells out more notes. Why was it necessary? In other words, Tosis would say that if there were no situation like that in Minat Torah where there would be a problem, why would anybody be Choshesh? That's the point. I mean, in other words, he says, but the reason why I called the Tikkun Gemaraisa Tikkun, some of the time, is here at least, certainly, is because you have to have something to be Choshesh for. Okay. The Ramban. Go ahead. Let's make a little quick work of this.
Ramban,
yeah.
Okay.
The shear. We can leave out the last part of the Ran. Yeah, the Ramban says. I didn't check, but I'm not sure what this word is supposed to be. What?
Why wouldn't it be
Hechmir? Yeah, so I don't know. So the question is, did the Gaonim issue some Hechmirim against it, or just Hechmir B'dam Torah?
What does that mean? How do you make Hechmir B'dam Torah?
You do that. You can be Machmir against something. That's what you do that. Chayim Rabbi Gershom. They were Machmir and marries two wives.
They have to actually be public, though.
What?
Be public.
Okay, he's referring to a Takanas HaGaonim, some I don't know if it was Hechmi. I just don't know whether it's Hechmi. I looked at this three times and said, is this Hechmim or Hechmi? It could be either one.
Okay.
Moshe?
Sorry, what's the difference between a Charima and
a... One is a Chayim, the other one's a Chumra.
They would put somebody who was Boel Dam Torah.
In theory, right. In other words, it's not like they had the Dam Torah police, and when they caught someone, they publicly excommunicated him. Sometimes you can be machrim stam on someone, right? A chayrim is a curse, as Rav Shechter always likes to quote the Gemara in Malikat, and a chayrim is a curse that's nichnas in the Ramach Evar. Okay.
Would they express that as a chayrim on an object versus chayrim on the people?
It means chayrim al Boel Dam Torah.
I know it does, but I'm saying they would express it that way?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, okay. I don't want to beat this dead horse to death. Let's just go on.
Okay, in
So what is the Ramban? Ramban has another chashash. That he says, not mitzad, you'll let this bezov, but even medina that mitzad chashash of the Gemara, there are places that a woman has yosheves ala mishum zachar yit mekeva and nida. Now, which of those three doesn't belong? Zachar. You don't need to say teishal mishum zachar nekeva and nida, because once you mean yosheves for nekeva and nida, it means your vaday tamei 14 weeks, and then you have no tara after that. Right. So the zachar adds nothing. There's no nafkamina, but it is patterned the same way. It means whether you bleed or not, and you go to the mikvah the night after the full days are completed.
I'm just trying to understand why, this hashash really... Because of the case where it's a suffix already, it was like a kiva or a nida.
So someone's going to assume that once I keep 14 days automatically in nida, therefore I'm entitled to at least a certain number of days of dam tohar.
Even though that's not true for the whole rest of their life. They know that.
Well, yeah, but they forget to get a vacation here.
When it's a suffix, whether or not isn't this the case where it's a suffix?
Correct. No. The whole point is, they didn't allow you, in a regular case, when it was a Vaday Vlad, to have Dam Tawar, because if you do it there, you'll do it also by the cases of the suffix. That's the Ramban's point. He's arguing that the Chumra of the Gaonim, or the Cherem of the Gaonim, flows naturally out of the Gemara, not just because we're Choshesh that women are Yoldos Bezov, but there's a real reason to be concerned that if you allow Yemei Tohar when there really is Yemei Tohar, people will take Yemei Tohar even when there is no Yemei Tohar. Yehuda? Any of the Xeris make sense here? Right? The Rishonim ask, listen, it's a chashash, shema this and shema that. By tefila b'shvi, right? You have to be choshesh she's really a zav. And you have to be choshesh that she'll sleep with her husband. And you have to be choshesh that she'll bleed afterwards. So the Rambalamor says, well, that's ridiculous. And the other Rishonim say, no, mishum chum dekar is choshesh. So, yes, there are a lot of chumras agave chumras here. Yes. Okay. Continue. Nephilim. Nephilim are giants. You hope that your Nephilim are not Nephilim? Nasty labor. Okay, fine. So that's what Ramban says. He's defending the Riff and the Gaonim's position. Okay, now. What's the Kasha? Yitzi?
I can be a whole bear of Zera on this case.
Yeah.
He's explicitly challenging. It's Rav, right? Isn't he? He's asking Rav, or is it Rav?
Well, Rav Zair is later than Rav. It's a Chumra that developed.
Oh, sorry, I was thinking I can use between Rav and Rava. Or between Rav and Rava.
Yeah. So I think the Rabban's question is really only the Psak Halacha is like Rav, that Mayan Echad, Vatora Timatu, Vatora Tiaratu. As the Rambam says, all bleeding is the same. All uterine bleeding is the same. Dam nida, dam ziva, dam yoledes, dam tohar, and dam kishu. It's all the same. So the Ramban says, the Gemara Paskins earlier, Hilchas Kavase Derav. So what's his kasha? Well, then, how can you have the chumra by dam tohar? The answer is, go ahead, Judah.
Dina
Ka'amri. Yeah, al pi ikar din, that's the din. However, and like we say, kida amri b'shmaitin, as we say, in our sugya here.
Right.
So the Ramban, of course, is having fun here because he's doing the reverse. Amina lecha ana chomra, the at amrisli dina. Right. It's really not isur. It's hetera. That's what the Ramban is saying here. So hechad achmor, hechad lo achmor, lo achmor. Which I take to mean is a place. Wherever they were machmir, in other words, that's the din. Some places they were machmir, some places they weren't machmir, which is why he continues and says, Hamakomos.
Hamakomos
shebaldi. So there were places, and we'll see when we get to Kuf Tzadi Dala much later in the year. There were places, they're still in the period of the Rishon, and they were Baal Dan Torah, I think in Tzarfas is where it was. So he says, they have to be careful for these things. Now, as an aside, there is one thing I think that would point to the fact that I think the Ramban is trying to root this in the din of the Gemara. I think that the Ramban is probably not correct in the following sense. The minhag of Dam Toar, not to be Baal Dam Toar, exists by the time Chasim is Hashas.
All places?
Yeah. Generations after Rabbi Zeir and Rav Arabaye, did the minhag not to be Baal Dam Toar, did it exist? I mean, was that what was the practice? So if you look up the Gemara, which I'm sure nobody did, I only looked at it this morning. So if you look at the Gemara, tell me what you think. Drew, do you have it? Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, five lines from the bottom, last word. Ravashi Amar. Again, there's Rav about Mayan Echad. Okay. All right. So now, having read the Gemara, what would you say? What would you say? What? I think we could agree on that part. Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. I know that. But I want to know whether or not the chumra of not being Baal Dan Toar existed by the Chasim HaSashas.
Probably not.
But why not?
Because the Tzad Kula of Torah Timantu and Torah Teratu is Dan Toar. So.
Well, okay, but that's not a Levi Rav issue. Levi also believes in Dan Toar. Right? I mean, you're right. The kula is that even if she... let me explain it to you. The kula, what's the kula and what's the chumra? I didn't explain this last time. The kula of Rav is that if a woman is bleeding, let's say she gives birth to a girl, and she's bleeding on day 14 into day 15, Levi would say she's still Tamea until she stops bleeding because it's two Mayanos, and if the one is the Mayan of Leida, one's the Mayan of Dam Toar, and therefore until the Mayan that was bleeding on day 14 stops, that Dam is still Tamea. Rav would say, no, it's the same Mayan, it's Xeris HaKosov. When blood on day 14 from that Mayan is Tameh, day 15 is Tahar. The Chumrah of Rav and the Kula of Levi comes if she's bleeding on day 80 into day 81. So there, if you say like Rav, it's still Mayan Echad, and it's Xeris HaKosov that until the end of the 80th day it's Tahorah, after that it's Tameh. But according to Levi, no, it's a new Mayan of Dam Tohar, and as long as that Mayan hasn't closed up, as long as she bleeds continuously from day 80 into day 81, and then she stops, she's Tahora, still according to Levi, but Rav make her Nida, but Levi retired because it's the same, clearly that was the Mayan which is Tahor. So Halchas HaKasari Rav, Bein Lekula Bein Lechumra, meaning the Kula is on day 14 into 15, and the Chumra is on day 80 into 81, or if you make it for Zachar, 7 to 8 and 40 to 41. So, why do I think that this Gemara actually demonstrates something? And it may not contradict the Ramban, but why do I think the Gemara demonstrates that the minhag to be Baal Dam Toar still existed at the time of Chasim HaSashas? They hadn't adopted this Chumra later. Aside from that the Rambam made this, if the girsa of the Ramban is that we have is correct, Echmir HaGaonim, obviously it's a Takana Sagonim. But even Echmir HaGaonim would still suggest that, even that girsa. But there's something in the Gemara itself that tells you that you should be sensitive to. Yitzi? Ravashi wasn't the one in Chasim HaSashas. I'm sorry to say that.
He's late.
What? He's late. He's a generation. He's two generations after Reb Papa. That's all. That Rav Ashi was not responsible for Chasim HaShas.
That was the
Now, we don't know who exactly it was. It was some. The Shas is probably mostly finished to the extent we can talk about the Shas being finished. Because emendations are taking place of some kind, but it's fair to say the Gaonim are dealing with the Shas that's finished. So the pre-Gaonic period, at some point near the end of that period, the Chasim HaShas takes place. But that could easily, firstly, it's long after Rav Ashi's death. Rav Ashi dies, I think, in 429. So it's easily a century after Rav Ashi, maybe more. But how do I know the Chasim HaShas? Got to read carefully. Look at the last line in the Gemara. The Hilchasa. Who's responsible for the Hilchasa? That's the Masadri HaShas. So in other words, that they're paskening like Rav, that Amoraim were paskening like Rav, no big deal. But that the Chosmei HaShas bothered to insert a Hilchasa would strongly suggest that they would still be Baal Dam Toar, because if they're not, then it's kind of irrelevant. Right? It's not Halacha L'maisa. The Homach Lokas of Rav and Levi is not relevant that you have to pasken one way or the other. Right? Because the bottom line is if she bleeds, she's Tmei, period. So, now the truth is the Ramban could just say, and maybe this is what he meant, he would argue there is that even there, some places might have been Machmer and some places were Mekel, because in the Ramban's time he knows that there were also places that are Machmer and Mekel. So anyway, methodologically be aware of the fact that by the end of today, I think nobody's Baal Dam Toar, but at the time of Chasim HaShas, there certainly were people in Baal Dam Toar. It's possible not everybody, but Adin?
It could just be their Machlokes and Tumantara and not... on whether or not, whether or not she can have be. I don't think Mark for me, so maybe
no, the Gemara, it's clear that what it may have ramifications to Mantara, but it's primarily for whether she's a Surah or not. I think so. And if it's Tumah Mantara, it's even less relevant to Halacha L'maaseh.
Would the Masadri HaShas not insert a Hilchata if it's around Tumah Mantara issues?
I haven't studied, I suspect not. But maybe I'm wrong. You'll see.
How does the Ramban use this line to ground the assertion that people weren't Doel on Dam Tahar?
You mean the Hechad Achmor?
Yeah. I mean, what does he do?
No, he's suggesting that some places were Machmer for Dam Tahar, some weren't. So don't ask me kashas from Rav, which is the Din. And again, it's not really Rav. I would argue it's the Hilchasa. Don't ask me cautious on that, because we know that there's some people make go, but there are places that were Machmir.
Even though it is.
And he goes on to say, places that are Boal Adam Tohar, so they, Heim Yachushu La'atzma. They'll have to be careful about these things.
This statement is kind of ambiguous in terms of what Chumrah and Kula. You just said, this is a Chumrah, and I'm going to argue that this statement has in mind the
Chumrah waiting 7 days. No. He's not. He's just paraphrasing. He's using the Gemara to point out that he's just using the Gemara as a melitza. That we know that even the Chumrah of Zira itself wasn't in all places early on. So he's saying, not everybody has the Chumrah not to be Baal Dam Toar.
Oh, that's what he's saying.
Yeah. He's just using... He makes it very clear it's borrowing. He says... Dina Ka'amri, period. Or semicolon, Kida Amri Bishmait, then just as we said, it's parallel. Okay. Finally, the Rashba, very quickly. You can fetch. In other words, once, you say they know a little bit, but not a lot. How do you quantify that? Makiris ksas vestas avalo ikar vestas. You know what you don't know. Okay? Right, that's point one. Point one is that the correct Girsay thinks is Shtaim, Rasa Shtaim, Teshev Shisha Vahin, not Chamisha Vahin. The second point he makes, which again we thought was obvious, the Shisha the Kamar.
Shisha Nikim, Kamar, Vahad Kamarina, Shosha.
Shisha the Kama. All right, so there are two possibilities. One is that you don't have to spell it out because it's obvious. The other is Vinami. Akulukai. It's distributive. It's distributive. Omikomakom. However you want to say, you get there, it's obvious that it requires a king. Yes.
Why is that obvious?
For the reason that Yehuda said yesterday.
I didn't hear it early.
Ah, Yehuda, tell him, how do you know? Rasa Echa Teshev Shisha Behen.
And therefore, why is that?
Thank you very much, Yehuda. It's rare that I can silence him when he doesn't have a comeback. He's trained as a lawyer, so. Good. Yeah, 2 points for that one. Because the way I said it wouldn't have been, I know there's a long conversation. Good. Yossi. It's also best when you know, do you know what recursion is? Yeah, so that's what it reminds me of. Okay, I know that may be lost on people, but...
What did I have to do with recursion?
Oh, a computer science guy, that's right.
I took two
I understand, once upon a time. Yes, because when you see the second day, that's comprised of one, and then the one before it. It's not really a complicated recursion, but anyway. All right, was there a question somewhere? Yes, yeah.
Can you argue that if she sees blood during those, like, 6 waiting days, so to speak, then that would be considered to be, like, rasa dam yumechad, meaning...
Why not?
Because
she bled 5 days before, that makes her better?
I mean, because it's considered to be that subsu, it's, like, part of her waiting days. You don't necessarily have to...
not that.
Where does the Rashba say what we just said?
What did we just say?
You say that what Yehuda said.
He doesn't spell out. He just says it's Pasha. So Yehuda explain why it's Pasha.
He says that Ani Yodin Shetelo saying the Bime Ziva Benina.
Yeah, he doesn't explain. He just says, the Shisha the Kama Shisha the Kim Kamar. And it's not just the Rasa Gemo that it's Shimon Akim. He gives the Svara. There's more along lines what I was suggesting, which is that if she sees for the Svara of seeing 3 days that we're afraid of a Toa, that maybe 2 days, you know, belong to the Ziva and 1 belongs to Nida, or 1 day belongs to Ziva and 2 days belong to Nida, so because of that we require Shimon Akim. So Mistama, we require it by the others as well, because you can have the same kind of a problem.
Wait, well, why would the others, for that exact reason, require an Akim? They would require an Akim for the reasons that we said before, not for a reason that's like this.
He says that if a whole svara behind him requires Shimon Akim by the 3 is confusion over Ziva versus Nida, then you understand that in order to solve the possible confusion by 2 days, Rasa Sheyam, or Rasa Yom Echad, so in order to solve that confusion, you would need Nikim days, because otherwise the Suffolk would come to the fore again. That's exactly, in effect, that was my point more than Yehuda's. which is if she bleeds now a second day, and if she sees one day, we tell her, you need shisha, but you don't need shisha nekiyim. When she bleeds the second day, we're now back to the, or, and it bleeds the third day, right? We're now back to the original suffix. If she was a suffix, ziva, suffix, nida, so now that she's bled, the first 2 days of the six are not nekiyim, we're back to the mamash, the original suffix. Right? Maybe the first 2 days of bleeding were from the previous ziva, and now the third day of bleeding is now nida. She needs six more days. Sprung.
Okay.
This better be good.
Why is the rationale that maybe the first day was ziva, second day was nida relevant if we're really looking for nekiyim?
I'm going to say that again.
Rashi says that maybe the first day, Vayishana Rishon Sof Zov, Vashini Tchiat Nida.
Right.
Okay. So, Utsricha Oshisha. That sounds very much like he just wants her to wait. Shiva Yume Nida.
No, if we know, if it turns out to be a fact that the first day was the last day Ziva and the second was day Nida, she would only need 6 days and then wouldn't need to the Kiyam. The problem is, we don't know that. If she bleeds another day, let's just follow the logic. That's what the Rashba was saying. She bleeds, now, let's say she's afraid that maybe the first day was that of Ziva and the second day was that of Nida, so now we tell her you need 6 more days. If she bleeds on the first of those 6 days, but now we stop, we stroke our beards a little bit and say, well, hold on, maybe the first 2 days belong to Ziva, and now the third day is Tchilas Nida, so she would require 1 more day. Right? And then if she, number one, number two, it's also possible that if she bleeds that day, if she bleeds that day, the third day in a row, it's possible it was all Bimei Ziva and she requires Shiva Nekiyim.
So then he should simply say that. There's no reason.
That is what the Rashba is saying.
No, the Rashba is saying that. I get the Rashba.
Yeah.
I'm saying to say that Rashi agrees with the Rashba.
No, Rashi is just explaining why 6 clean days will be motzi yu michal every suffek. That's all.
6 clean days won't. She needs shiva nekiyim.
Not if she only bled 2 days. Because even if one of them, if both of them will be meziva,
yeah,
she doesn't need more than a day.
Right.
If one was being, if both are being enida, she only needs 5 days. If the first one was Bimei Ziva and the second was Bimei Nida, she needs 6 days. So you take the maximum.
What does it have to do with Nekiyim?
Yeah,
then why should they have... Meaning, so maybe that...
Can someone help me here, please?
No, I understand the Rashi's point. I'm saying maybe Rashi simply...
You're right. If we knew the facts, you wouldn't require Nekiyim, but we're being koshish for every possibility. In other words, if she bled 1 day, 6 Nekiyim for sure take her out of any Michlal Safik.
Yeah.
Okay? If she bled 2 days... 6 Nekiyim, for sure take her out of Bechlal Safek. If she bled 3 days, only 7 Nekiyim take her for sure out of Bechlal Safek. Is it possible that if she bled 1 day or 2 days, let's say take the example of 2 days, that 6 days, even if they're not Nekiyim, are what's in Bechlal Safek? It's possible, but we don't want the possible, we want the definite. The only way to know for sure that when a woman bled 2 days, and she doesn't know when those 2 days were, the only way to be sure that she is no longer, that she is mutaris to go to the mikvah, is to have shisha nekiyim. There's no other way to be sure. It's possible that shisha non-nekiyim will solve the problem. It's just a waiting game. Yeah, it's possible, but it's not definite. We want to know for sure. That's the whole goal in this game. Like Pesach Nida, 17 clean days, is because we want to know for sure. That's all. Okay. Now, let's go on to the tour. Did I talk at all about the Torah and the Beis Yosef and the methodology of Pesach and the Beis Yosef? I did, right? It was Yotze, good. I mean, I know it's to be Yotze, but it's kedai to read the introduction. There is one thing I'd like to draw your attention to, although I don't think there were any examples that I saw in my edition of the Beis Yosef in this siman, but it's possible that you have. You will sometimes see, normally they print them here too. Yours is a newer edition. There is something called the Bedek HaBayis. The first Bedek HaBayis was in Sefer Malachim. That was a temple fund. The second Bedek HaBayis that I'm aware of was a Sefer that was written by Rav Aaron Halevi of Barcelona in response to the Rashba. The Rashba wrote the first half of Yoredeah. Through Hilchos Mikvaos, the Rashba wrote. Now, the Rashba didn't write Yoredeah, but the Rashba, the way I was taught in my Jewish history, I don't know which was a very good Jewish history, but I learned a lot of facts. I don't know if all of them are true. Is that The Rashba set out to write a halacha compendium, and maybe he planned to go further than he actually did. I don't know if that's true or not. And he wrote what we have, what's known as the Torah Sabayis. Came along his contemporary, the Ra'ah, and he wrote Hasagos on it. And the way I was taught, but I'm not sure it's true, is that derailed the project a little bit. The Ra'ah wrote some very sharp Hasagos, and they were known as the Bedek Habayis. In response to the Bedek Habayis in Barcelona, published anonymously initially, or circulated, it wasn't published, printing presses at the time, was a sefer called the Mishmeres Habayis, which was a response to the Ra'ah's criticisms against the Torah Habayis. There is one tshuva of the Rashba in which he refers to his Mishmeres Habayis. So I'm not sure it was truly anonymous originally, certainly we are pretty sure we know who the author of the Mishmeres Habayis is, none other than the Rashba himself. That was the second Bedek Habayis. So the Rashba, by the way, serves as the foundation for sort of the order of Yerudea from the beginning, for what is printed as the first two Chalakim of our Yerudea, from Siman Aleph to Siman Reish Beis, starting with Shchita and Trefos, and all sorts of stuff related to kosher, non-kosher animals, blood, eggs, and things like that, and then Basar B'chal of Tarobas, and then Machalei Akum, and so on, and then lots of, kind of miscellaneous Simanim related to Avodah Zarah, and then Nida and Mikvos. After that, the last part of Yerudea, incidentally, Hilchas Avelos, starting with Hilchas Chirim, comes from the Ramban's Torah Sa'adam, but from Simon Reish Gimel to Simon Shin Lamed Gimel or Dalid, I don't know what the basis of organization where that actually comes from. So anyway, that's the second Bedek Habayis. The third Bedek Habayis, I know, I'm not telling you that if you go on Otzar HaChachma, you won't find 30 Bedek Habayises, but the third Bedek Habayis are the Beis Yosef's corrections to the Beis Yosef. Because the Beis Yosef already lived during the time of the printing press. So when the Beis Yosef first came out, it was actually printed. But there were errors. I don't know if there were cases where the Beis Yosef changed his mind, but there were errors. And therefore he wrote corrections to a called the Bedek Habayis. He has an introduction to the Bedek Habayis, which is very interesting. It would break the heart of many a Brisker. Because in that, he gives you a couple of examples in which he had dialogue with colleagues of his about certain passages in the Beis Yosef and the Torah, and the explanation, the solution to the problem lay in the fact that there was an error in the printing, or there was an error in the text. And once you corrected the error in the text, whether the Torah or the Beis Yosef, the entire problem disappeared. There are some people who have difficulties with this particular approach, because it's much more fun to give a lamdish yishuv when you have certain kinds of problems. One senior colleague here, who has written that the errors in the Rambam were actually part of the divine plan, because so that we could say all of this lamdish. Now, there's an old joke about the Reb Chaim goes to heaven and he's given one person he's allowed to meet with, and he wants to meet with the Rambam. So he meets the Rambam, and he asked the Rambam, he said, he talks to one particular passage, he says, hold on, this isn't that what you meant? The Rambam says, no. Then he goes to a second one, third one, finally Reb Chaim says, stupid Sephardi. Right? That's the way the joke goes. Very Ashkenazi-centered joke. But the point is that the companion story to that is a true story. I think that Rabbi Eliezer Berkovitz printed this story in his memorial for the Sri Dei Esh, his Rebbe, in tradition. It was in the early 60s, after the Sri Dei Esh passed away. It's a story about, I think, of David Zvi Hoffman. Apparently there's this place in Europe, one of these spas that all the Gedolim used to vacation at, during the summer. And he goes there, and he's talking to a fellow Gadol of his, who's telling this whole pshat he has on a Rashi, I think in Chumash or something, to explain the Rashi. And Rav David Zvi Hoffman just points out to him, he says the following, he said that the Gersa is wrong, and once you have the correct Gersa, it's not a problem. And I think he says, the difference between you and me is that when I go to heaven, Rashi's going to come out, the great man says, thank you so much for fixing the errors, and fixing my errors. And then, when you go to heaven, the printers are going to come out and say, thank you so much for fixing my errors. So, right, Mimi Yashe. So anyway, in the Bedek Habayis, there are two Akdamas. There's Akdamah to the Beis Yosef, where he lays out his methodology of Psak, and then there is the Akdamah to the Bedek Habayis, where he gives you a couple of very interesting examples, where if you simply have the correct text, all of your questions disappear. I'm not suggesting by any means, I want to make that clear, that there is no role for Lamdus, and that there are no contradictions in Rambams or things that require Yishuv where the solution is not the Girsa. There are lots of examples that probably more, I don't want to say more often than not, but probably more often than not, just finding the correct yirsa doesn't solve the problems. But the first thing you have to do before you, you know, engage in a great deal of bundles is to make sure you're dealing with the correct yirsa in the Rambam. The way you do that, incidentally, is you can either use the Frankel Rambam and look at the Shinui Nischos, or you can get a Teimani edition of the Rambam, because the Teimanim were incredibly, incredibly accurate and faithful scribes. So generally speaking, the Teimani editions of the Mishneh Torah are the best editions. There is, for the first two Svarim, incidentally, of the Aruch HaZakeh, there is a manuscript, not which the Rambam wrote, but which he was Magia, the Huntington 80 manuscript, which proved to be very valuable on certain issues in Ksiva Sefer Torah. But nonetheless, establishing that you have a correct Yirsa is the first thing that you want to make sure of. So again, I'm not telling when you read something and it doesn't make sense to you, you should immediately start amending the Gersa. Then you'd violate Rabbi Nutan's Chayrim against Magia Sfarim. But you should be aware sometimes the Gersa in front of you might not be correct, and that's the first question you want to ask. Like, for example, that Tosis we did in Megillah, where it's clear there's almost certainly an error in the Gersa, and there are a lot of indications that there's an error in the Gersa in that Tosis, and that's why I amended as I suggested. Okay. Let us now read the Torah. The Torah says, who would like to read the Torah? I mean, you did, yeah. You have escaped the wrath of the reader selector. So now you are now chosen. Go ahead. V'isha. Okay. Not Mara. Mara. V'chol. Muckle. No?
Okay. Error in the gear set. Okay, this text I'm using is correct.
What text are you using? Interesting. Does anybody have, well, you guys all have, almost
it's not a series of that. So,
oh, but it's from the Bar Ilan? I got it. Okay, that's a great. Let's read on, because let's see what happens. So Shalom Bechol. No, I'm serious. I could see, because the Torah is going to talk about that, but not in that language in the next line. It's not Kol Makom and it's not Kol Mara. But that, anyway, so go ahead as we talk about it, okay? Okay, that's just a, you can see how someone made the error, but that's clearly an error, right? Dafka dama bamana makar, it's lo b'chol makom, right? So it means if a woman, the isha kisiyez hava, dam yez hava b'sara. So you can imagine a woman cuts her hand on a piece of glass and there's blood flowing from her flesh, oh, she's anita. So that's wrong. Right. So, how do we know that, by the way? Because v'higil sa'as mekar dama. It's a Toras Kohanim that's quoted by the Rif and the Rush. Okay. What's that?
Why is it the Torah in
this? Why does he cite this pasuk? Because this is the pasuk that tells you the dinam of Nida. This introduces the parsha of Nida, but he doesn't tell you v'landu chacham mishar psukim. He doesn't tell you where shalal b'chamakom. There's the din is v'isha kisiyas eldam. That's the din. He's introducing Hilchos Nida with the din of Nida, with the pasuk of Nida. But you might think if she bleeds anywhere, so he says he doesn't tell you. The Chachamim learn from Midrash HaPsukim that not every place, but dafka dam haba'min ha'makar, and we will call that uterine and endometrial bleeding. Right? In theory, it's pretty highly unusual. But if a woman got a cut inside the uterus itself, that's not where usually the cuts take place that we deal with. Typically, the cuts that you deal with are in the vaginal canal. Vaginal canal or cervical bleeding, but we're talking about uterine bleeding and typically and supposed to be hormone, let's say hormonally related endometrial breakdown. I believe it's tahar. It's just very hard. Yes, if it's a cut. So it's not. It has to be. So it's not just that. It's not just the location, but it's a kind of blood, right? To use the Rambam's language. It's one mayan for all blood, but the point is that dam nida, dam ziva, dam koshi, dam leda, and dam toar are all the same blood. It's all breakdown of the endometrial lining. A cut there, in the wall of the uterus itself, which would be again highly unusual, should not constitute this dam. Okay, the low. That's simen kuf peches. Okay, we'll talk about colors there. The af.
The af the ilu in a tamea. Ash shetargish v'siyasa. Umi yomi shetargish ba. Mi shetargish ba shen shenai kami mekomo yas la besachitza n'tmea.
Okay. Okay. So here he says there. So basically there are three conditions that are required for a woman to be in need at least midoraisa. And the Torah here is presenting mostly the Din Doraisa. Number one, it has to be Dama Bamana Makar. Number two, it has to be a proper color of red. Number three, it has to be accompanied by a Hargasha. If it doesn't come in a Makar, she's Tahora, even Midrabanan. If it's the wrong color, she's Tahora, even Midrabanan. If she doesn't have Hargasha, that's what we call Kesem, and sometimes she's Tahora, sometimes she is Tameh. To be discussed in Simen Kuf Tzadi. Yeah. One more question. What is called the Bayis Achitzon? So I think I mentioned yesterday, Mibein HaShinayim Ulachotz. Okay, which is the Bayis HaShinayim. You can tell if you look at a sort of a diagram of the cervix, you'll see what the Bayis HaShinayim are. Inside of that is still considered, she's not Anita yet. She probably may not know, but she's not Anita yet. Okay. V'zeh Mishpata. All right, so what is it? Bein ba'ones, bein b'ratzon. That's a little odd. You see a woman is sitting there in a meditative state to generate, the breakdown of the endometrial lining, right? Ratzon means normal. Ones means something, I would not say traumatic, but something induced by, the Gemara thinks, I don't know what, understand the mitzvahs of this bechlal. A woman might kvita, jumping around, might generate, cause her to bleed. Now again, jumping around can cause you to bleed, but I don't think it usually causes breakdown of the endometrial lining. When you jump around too much, bruising, all sorts of things. Now, extreme forms of exercise amounts can have an effect on a woman's period, although it tends to go in the opposite direction. In other words, athletes who are engaged in perhaps too excessive training to the point where body fat levels drop below a certain point. Most people in our society, men and women, don't have to worry about that particular issue. So that particular issue can create a condition known as, I think it's called amenorrhea, in which a woman will stop getting her period. It's not a good sign. Right? It's not a good sign. But it's hard to imagine that kfitza alone generates this, but the Gemara talks about it when we do Vestos. It's not going to be so much lemaisa, this type of a SS. But the Chazal assumes something like that. I don't understand fully the Mitzias, or even the Mitzias, or what made them think that this was really the Mitzias. Anyway, so assume for the moment that she might do things that can that kvitza can bring it on. I would suspect, by the way, that more likely to bring it on would be some type of highly called emotional trauma, emotional act, which Chazal also seemed to have some assumption. We'll talk about Dam Chimo at some point later in the year. I don't think these are common mitzvahs. Akiva?
Could they be referring to, I don't remember what the halachic term is, but a type of exercise to be strenuous enough to break the hymen?
That wouldn't be Dam Nida. Hymenal bleeding is not Dam Nida.
But we treat it as such nowadays.
We treat it only in the context of Bir Rishona. If a woman goes to the doctor and the doctor, cuts the hymen, she's not Anita, even Midrabana. What?
Why not?
Because they only goes in the context of Bia, whatever reason, but that's why. Ramosha said true about this. If you have situations where you have an imperforable hymen and it requires very brief medical attention, so it does not render her Anita. Does not render her Anita.
Sunday, right?
What?
Otherwise there was a Sunday.
It's some kind of a whatever, it's, it's...
Doesn't it become Rabbah when she's already married, which is when she's concerned about Nida?
I'm sorry?
Doesn't the hymen become irrelevant once she's already married?
Once she's had intercourse, once, twice, three times, whatever, the hymen will be typically destroyed.
Right, so it's not really relevant for figuring for Nida.
Well, if you're trying to marry, correct, you're correct. Yes, that would be another reason. Thank you for disqualifying. You're correct. Okay. Fine. Okay. So, Bein Ba'onis, Bein Ba'ratzon, she counts 7 days with the Yom HaRe'iyah. Okay. V'toveles. Okay. And that we've seen already, that Kol Chai Ve'tfilas Tfilasan Ba'yom, Nida and Yomadis Tfilasan Ba'layla. Okay. Now, V'chachadin.
V'chachadin. Afilu Shofas Kol Shiva, Rak She'tifzok V'tahara V'yom Shvi, Kona V'yashmashos, V'toveles V'toveles
V'toveles V'toveles V'toveles V'toveles V'toveles. Posekes bitara, we will eventually talk more about that in the context of a woman. What a hefsek tara means in our context is that for a woman to start counting shivanikim, she has to do some type of either bedika, a more extensive bedika, on, you know, on the day that she stops bleeding, not find any blood, and then she can start counting the next day, or the next, starting the night that follows. But what we generally require women to do is we require a hefsek tara. We require a hefsek tara, and then we require some number of bedikos. So ad shetifsok patara means she has to stop bleeding before the end of the seventh day, and then she goes to the mikvah at night. No problem. Go ahead.
How much constitutes a stop? Like, how much of a break if she...
Any amount.
So long as she doesn't bleed directly before and after being...
Correct. She might have to do... you know, some require, I don't know by here, because this is the right, so we don't do it. It's a question of what Hefsek Tara requires. Some require what they call a moch dachuk, which means leaving a tampon or something like that in the entire Bein HaShemashos, starting at the end of the day into the night, and make sure there's no bleeding that way. So we'll talk about all that when much later in the year. But let's assume for the moment she stopped bleeding. She figures out she stopped bleeding, she's not bleeding at all. Fine. Okay, now, right now the Torah does not take a position on our nemesis of a machlokas of the Rambam and Ramban. He does take a position later. What position does he take later? What? No surprise, Ramban. He doesn't make it clear here, but the Beis Yosef is all over here, quoting the Rambam, and I suspect that if you went over, I hope you've gone over the Beis Yosef, you will fly through it like a hot knife through butter. In fact, you should be able to fly through most of the stuff in the Sin like a hot knife through butter because you've seen virtually all the Gemaras that are involved. So, okay, so later on he's going to say that once she becomes a Zava, she's now Chozeres. If you go to, well, I don't know what page it is in yours and mine, later on in the Simen it says, Avru kolachar asar yabe v'lo rasa Chozeres t'chilas yimei nidus, but v'im rasa v'hem enase Zava, ina Chozeres li mei nidus ad shi'ila shivinikim. That's the Ramban Shita. Ramban and most of the Rishonim. Fine. Now he continues the Torah. Go ahead. Fine. So if she bleeds on one of these 11 days, whether she bleeds at the beginning of the night, whether she bleeds at the end of the day, but she's masekes betara on the de halachic day that she bled, then mishameres kol alayla she'achar kach. She can go to the mikvah right after an etzachama, and because she has mixed the seyum kakul in the yom, so that's shemira seyum keneged yom. Umikomakom. Okay. Okay, so the tour seems to be taking a position here, but it's a question of what it means. What position does he seem to be taking? What? Yeah, whose position is that in effect? I want to say it's a but I don't care whose position, because this is all daraisa. This is reading Rabbi Shimon as Aval Asru Chachamim Lasos Kein Shema Tavo or Shalot Tavo Lidei Safek, that Asru Chachamim is Tashmish, not Tvila. So he says, but even though you're allowed to do Tvila, you're not allowed to do Tashmish. Shema Tirevetistar. Now you could ask, is that Rabbi Shema, or is this the Din D'Oraisa? The Beis Yosef talks about that. Okay, so this is called the Shomer HaSiyom Keneged Yom. Next. Oh, but before you go on, because we're not going to, I don't think we're going to get to the Beis Yosef today, but I want you to think about it a little bit. In what context is Rabbi Shimon's statement uttered? That the Chachamim prohibited something, which the Rishonim argue about what they prohibited. In order to understand the flow of the Beis Yosef here, you have to realize, it's not great lumdus, but you have to realize what Rabbi Shimon's din is stated by. Where is Rabbi Shimon placed his din? By what case?
3 weeks and then
10 weeks
alternate.
What? No. The Rabbi Shimon and Samach, the Zayin Amid Beis. What's its drasha by? What case? I know. What case is that by?
To be
from
the seventh thing.
Shiva Nikim. Zava Gadola. Not by Shomer Siyom Keneged Yom. You might assume the din is the same there. I'm not arguing against that. But Rabbi Shimon states his din by Zava Gadola. That's why the Beis Yosef has to say in the paragraph that begins Umash Bali Dol Das Rashi Atosis Ki Hechin De Asur Chachamim Lazava Lipo Bishvi Kishlo Tavol Shamish Babayom Hachinami Asur Lazava Ketana Lipo Biyom Hashim Kadesh Tavol Shamish Babayom V'Tirah Babayom Achar Kach and so on and so forth. Right. Well, that could be the Naraisa. Because that's what they talk about there.
Okay.
And Shimon Akim and Sipar. So the point is, when I first read the line Beis Yosef, I was puzzled. What do you mean? Why is he distinguishing? And the answer is because Rabbi Shimon says his din only by Zava Gedola. It might be true. If that could be the... You know, one of the answers to solve the problem the Torah could have been, is the Torah arguing in Rashi and Tosas, adopting the Rambam and the Rifs Reed. Well, the answer might be that Rashi and Tosas only say that by Shimon Akim. Now, that's unlikely. If they prohibit by Shimon Akim, which in fact are you more likely to prohibit by? By Zava Gedola or Zava Ketana? And why? Why?
You're more likely to bleed.
Mayana Pasuach, the Ramban. That we saw in a prior so again. So it's more, so that's why, what the Beis Yosef said is Pashut, but to understand his line, you have to think about what the context in which Rabbi Shimon's statement was uttered. It's obvious what the Beis Yosef says, and it's hard to argue on it, but the fact that he has to state it is because it's not said, it's not explicit. Okay, now, read the next line in the Torah.
Okay.
Now, stop. One of you, a couple of you asked me in Seder, and this occurred to me, and this is only the 12th time I'm reading the Torah, it occurred to me before you asked me, yesterday when I was rereading it, that is the Torah making a nomenclature distinction here? What's the difference between the Shomer Siyom Keneged Yom and the Zava Ketana? Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Now, I haven't seen anybody comment on it. There's a line somewhere in the Siman in the Beis Yosef. I know where on the pages, but I don't remember which page. I think it's probably somewhere buried in the paragraph Umasha Kasa Bezava Shasuris the Shamesh. You'll see that the Beis Yosef does not draw such a distinction. He'll apply things Zava Ketana even to one day. And the Shomer Siyom Keneged Yom for sure applies to the second day, to one of blood 2 days. But does the term Zava Ketana apply to someone who bleeds only one day? What's an afkamina? None that I know of. It's just a question of whether the terminology meant something or not. Okay.
You could very easily just read that the day after is called that's when the she is shomer siyom keneged yom, and the he shenei kritz of kasana is the whole thing of everyone bleeds 1 or 2 days.
Sure, that's correct. It's possible. In other words, it could be Vizohi Shinekwe Zavakitana, he puts after the 2 days, not because it only goes on the second day, but because it divides between day 1 and 2, one day, 2 days, versus what comes next, which is, did you go ahead? Right, that may be the only reason why. So, I don't think that there's any such distinction, even terminologically, as Adin suggested, but can't tell for sure. Okay, then Velotitaher. Should be below titar. Below titar, chi elashim and yom nekiim chutz miyom sheposek esbo. So here, in contrast to Nida, the day she does her hefsek tara doesn't count. So just so you know, this is aleph beis of chas and kala classes. When a woman does a hefsek tara, the last day she bleeds. So if you want to know what night of the week she goes to the mikvah, it's if she last bled on Monday night. The following week is when she'll go to the mikvah, because the day that she last bleeds on, that she does the hefsek tara on, does not count towards the 7 days. So if she last bled on Monday, she needs Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday night, she can go to the mikvah. Midaraisa, Monday day, she could, well, if she were a Zava Gedola Monday day, she could go to the mikvah, Minat Torah. Monday night is when she will go to the mikvah. Okay. Okay, he treats them the same. So here, by the way, anyway, you couldn't get around the problem, because you'd certainly be arguing on Rashi and Tosfos here. Okay, go ahead. So, what's the word? All right, B'tahara. Everybody have B'tahara?
Have B'tahara.
Okay. So, which din is this?
That you don't need shemar for dealing with that.
Right. Just as a helpful thing, I think I don't know if I mentioned this to you. When I asked Rosh Hashanah about learning Yeradeya, one of the things he told me to do is always learn the Bi'ur HaGra. Why do you learn the Bi'ur HaGra? So I never asked him why. I could ask him, but I'll tell you the value in learning the Bi'ur HaGra is. What's the value in learning the Bi'ur HaGra? What? Correct. In other words, you should be able to, when you read the Shulchan Aruch, in theory, I don't always do this myself, I should, but you should, in theory, be able to identify every single line in the Shulchan Aruch, what is the source. In order to get a very clear sense of the final Psak Halacha, you should be able to look at every single line and say, the makor for that is this Gemara, that Taras Kohanim, this Rambam, that Rashba. That's what you should be able to do, and the Bi'ur HaGra does that in the most succinct fashion. The Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah can do that as well, but he doesn't do it, I believe, for the Ramah. He only did the Ramah, somebody added in citations and parentheses, but those citations are often mistaken, and the Achronim, the Nosei Kelim, often point out the errors in them. Okay, so the Bi'ur HaGra is very, very effective for doing that. Okay. Okay, that's the machlokas. Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Next, this I read the next line. Arbu kolachad asar yamim v'lo rasa chazos tchias minus in rasa b'hem v'nasei seva in chazos l'minus ashir l'ashiv v'nikim v'oz yaschid li me'anidus v'acharei me'azivus kasher parashti v'chein le'olam. So that is the shita of the Rambam. Okay, so if by some chance we were going to go back to Nida D'Raisa, we'd follow the Rambam. Okay, me... V'talkfu atzaros. So let's see. So the first part we get. Things get bad. It's like reading Parshas Kisavo in miniature. Slides. Okay. Or Nitzavim, or Vayelech, or Hazinu. So fine. So when
there's
things...
There's
some good things in Kisavo too.
Good things
in the Vayelech, I don't know if there's any good things in it. And Hazinu also has a good ending too. The middle's not so good. Okay. I didn't make that comment Bechinam. That relates to my Shabbat Shuvah Drasha and the question of Tosis and Megillah, why do we read Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah? We're supposed to read Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah. Anyway, look on the bottom, Tosis and Daf Lamed Aleph on the base and Megillah. Anyway, so what happened? Choshu, they were afraid. Shema yavo litos b'isr kares. So far, so good. No argument here. What will happen? Shema.
Shema tira isha b'meni desa shisha yamim b'ya ha'kol dam tohar. Vashvi, shema tira dam tameh b'sura litvo b'lo shmini b'sricha oshi v'yam.
So we understand that. A woman will make a mistake. She's toa b'pischa. She's toa, I'm sorry, with what? What's the toes here?
Really
the color of blood, right? She sees 6 days Yemeni Dasa, and it's all Damtar. How is it Damtar? Because it's the wrong color. So therefore, go ahead. What does that mean? And that's why the Beis Yosef got so upset. That Chumrah, that's what we call a Chumrah de Asili de Kula. Being Machmer at all red blood, to treat it as damnida would produce a kula, because maybe it's really tahor, and you don't start counting nida till later in the bleeding. So what do you mean? Because they were afraid that people wouldn't know the difference between damtah and damtahor, and they'd start counting from the first time they bled, therefore they were machmir, to be metame every color red? And then, continue. And which chumrah was that? Well, that's namni chumrah. It's a totally different chumrah. Then, Mechadei. Yeah, so I understand the last part also, but I would have said, how would you have structured the Torah to make more sense? I don't think I've ever read it, but there's a long taz on our siman. If you want to read it, that's fine, but it's all trying to be miyashev the Torah, I believe. Others tried it as well, but I don't know how you really... it's not that important to be miyashev because it has no relevance, lemaisa, and it's clear how the Rishonim understood things, But what? How would you fix the tour? The fast way to fix the tour.
Take out the word adam.
I would say no. I'd say it's not hechmir l'tame komar edam adam because they weren't bekiyim. Therefore, because they're not bekiyim, we're afraid. Then the first consideration, that she'll see 6 days b'meini dasa, and it's all tahar, and then the seventh day she bleeds dam tameh, and we don't know that because we don't know the difference between red and red, number one. Number two, she'lo yuvo lidei talus ben yemeini deli meziva, because of those two reasons, right, the two reasons why the Rif and other Rishonim give, hosifu chumra achar chumra achar amru shafim lo tera isha shetiv estayim achano, teishal shivin ekiyim kezava gedola. That's the simplest way, if you're amending the Torah, it's that piece about, therefore hechmiru letame komari dam adam. Number one. Number two, what's chumrah achar chumrah? Sometimes it feels that that is, you know, there's an expression, how many chumras are involved here? Chumrah achar chumrah? How many times does it say chumrah?
Two.
You know, so sometimes the Gemara, you had, if you did Daf Yomi Nazir last week, where one woman says, you know, one person says, I'll be a Nazir, another one says, Vani, another one says, Vani. So the question is, would it only work if the last one was Toch Kedei Dibur of the original Hareini Nazir or not? Now, once one guy says Harini Nazir, the next one says Va'ani, and the other one says Va'ani, so apparently the next one is outside of Tokedei Dibur. So the question is, was the Mishnah Nafka saying that it won't work? Or it could be even multiple people. So the Gemara wants to bring a Raya that it has to be Tokedei Dibur because the Mishnah only says Va'ani twice. The Gemara's response is, that's a ridiculous proof. Tana ki ruchla lezel. What is the Tana, a spice peddler who says, I have this item, I have cinnamon, I have salt, pepper, paprika, I have dill, I have oregano. It goes down, here's the list, everything for you. It's understood. Vani, 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 kut olam, right? Etc. It's understood. So when the Torah says chumrah, chumrah, I know that sometimes we look at a chasnid and think, oh my God, it's like endless chumras. But that's not, the Rif may not mean that, the Torah may not mean that. He may mean chumrah, chumrah really is two chumras. One was the chumrah of Rebbe, and the second was the chumrah of Rebbe Zeira, for short. Right, that may be that, because that the first one, so again, I think it's hard to know, but there are two problems. One is the color of blood, and the other is Pesach Nida and Ziva, and there are also two basic stages of Chumrah. Rebbe?
That's the only Chumrah he quoted in the SF.
What's that?
That's the only Chumrah he quoted in the SF. Like Gargaran and...
He didn't even quote Gargaran.
Gargaran?
No, it's the Beis Yosef. He doesn't say. Some people want to argue the Beis Yosef talks about it, does the Rif hold Gargar on his mutter? Right?
Yeah.
So in the end he says no, lav dafka. But you're Yehuda?
I would argue, not from the beginning, that he thought Gargar has to do with color.
What's that?
It's an opinion, apparently, that Gargar has to do with what color the color.
Right.
So maybe which, that's why he's talking about Mar Adam Adam and Chumra Chachumra, until they say, even if you see one drop of green blood or whatever,
no, then that belongs at the end. In other words, you should have taken Echmir Latame Kamar Adam Adam, Hosifu Chumra Chachumra Acha Amru. Right? In other words, but again, you're supposed to be giving reasons. In other words, you would argue there are three reasons. Three reasons for various Chumras. One is not proper color. I would even say it belongs at the end. Right? There's still only two reasons. Color problems, not only red and red, but even other colors, and Pesach Nida. And therefore, they were machmir to have Shiva Nikiyam, to any color, and so on and so forth. So there's something, it's like the words are somehow, Beis Yosef just writes at the beginning of that section, the Beis Yosef says, Divrei Rabbeinu b'zeh kim urvavim ve'ena muvo'arim, ve'ikar shodav kacho, and then he sort of lays out the order of things as they happen. I don't think there should be major substantive machlokas here. All right. Any questions?
Just the second reason that he gives is that women won't be able to keep track of their yemei nida in there.
They get confused, so maybe one day of bleeding was ziva, or 2 days was ziva, and the next one is nida. And if you're only counting 6 more days, you could be in a lot of trouble, or 5 more days, whatever.
The first 2 days.
Let's say she bled 2 days.
Right.
So we're afraid. It's very skinzer. And if she bleeds 3 days, we require Shiva Nikim because maybe they may Ziva and she got confused as to where she was. Okay. So, God willing, on Sunday, we will talk about a few of these issues in the Beis Yosef, the Tshuva, the Rivash, and then go to the Shulchan Aruch. You can read the Pesachei Tshuva there, and if you have time to look up the Tshuva, the Chasam Sofer, and the Yehuda, it is kedai to do so. Okay. A wonderful Shabbos.